Morning, everybody. Before we get into today's message, I have a few things that I need to take care of first. And the first one is, there's a new person in the church today, and her name is Olivia. And that is this on? Am I sounding funky? There we go. Olivia is the newest daughter to Carly and Brandon Trono. Stephanie has already bogarted her, so if you want to say hi to Olivia, please speak clearly, but do not touch. And today we are doing it is one of the biggest blessings that a pastor has in the duties of a pastor. And yes, I said duty, Ron. We are going to have Oliver bring his mom and dad up, and whoever else wanted to come, that's between the family. But come on, Oliver, you can do it. We are going to dedicate Oliver today. For those of you who are wondering, we do not baptize children. There is no biblical record or backing for baptizing children. Baptism in the New Testament was something that was done when a person became aware of who they were and who they are and who Jesus is. And it is a decision. It is a decision that is made. And then baptism happens. So we dedicate. There is record of dedicating children and having the blessings of the patriarchs and the matriarchs passed on to the children. And so that's what we do here at New Hope Christian Center. So are you happy today?
He's trying to get sleepy.
Hi, Oliver. I used to hold the kids, but it makes them cry. And so I don't do it anymore. So you're welcome, Oliver. So Keegan and Maddie, it says in the Word that we are to raise our children in the ways of the Lord, that His Word and His laws are to be on our mouths as we come and as we go. We are to teach our kids throughout life's trials. Everything that we do, there's a teaching moment there. And so do you guys promise to raise little Oliver up in the Lord to the best of your abilities?
Yes.
Very good. So far, so good, Oliver. He's like a linebacker. And as a family, as a fellowship here at New Hope Christian Center, it is also our duty as spiritual moms and dads and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas. We don't just raise our own kids. When you're in a church like this and a fellowship like this, I believe that it is God's plan and His design that we all gather together as community, as a fellowship, to help one another during the difficult times. And there are going to be difficult times, as I'm sure you've already can attest. But that's why we're here. We're here to instill wisdom. We're here to encourage. We're here to lift up when things get difficult. And they will. So I'm asking you, as New Hope Fellowship, are you willing to take on another little one? Because it seems like we have more and more little ones to take on. But it is our duty as brothers and sisters in Christ that we share in the bringing up of little Oliver. You guys willing to do that?
Yes.
Very good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just lift up this family to You. I lift up Oliver to You, Lord Jesus. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would set Your angels around him, that Your Spirit would guide him until the day comes when he is aware of who You are and who he is in You. Until that day, Lord, I pray that You would keep him in Your hands. Keep him safe. Let him know You as he walks. And wherever he goes, Lord, let him be aware of Your presence. I pray Your blessing upon this family, upon the extended family as well. for what an incredible gift that you have bestowed upon these two. And I pray that they would not take it lightly, as I know that they will not. But Heavenly Father, they will do their best to raise little Oliver in your ways, according to your ways, your purposes, and your plans. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good job, Oliver. Let's give him a hand. Bye, buddy. You guys want to stay up here while I speak? They could not wait to get off of this stage. A few years ago, actually it's been 4 years, I did a message, and I started restudying for this message, because to me it's something that we all should be aware of. I study Hebrew. I look into the ancient language. I want to know what it says, because I believe that there are things in the Hebrew language that are completely lost in the English translations of the Bible. And so, how many of you were here back in 2020? How many of you were not here back in 20? Good gravy. That's awesome. I guarantee that you have never heard this message before. I guarantee it. I know you haven't, because pastors don't teach this. Most pastors teach a bunch of hooey anyways. But here at New Hope Christian Center, we teach the Word of God. And there is something about the Hebrew language that reveals a lot more meat than it does when we just look at it in the English translations. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. It says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law." According to the scripture, there are certain things that God has revealed that He wants us to know. But there are also things in this universe, things in the spiritual realm, below heaven and above heaven, below the earth and above the earth, that God says these things are secret things and they are none of your business. I will reveal the mysteries that I have when the time comes, and not beforehand. So according to the Jews and this scripture, there are two kinds of mysteries, and we're going to look at those mysteries today. The first is the secret things. The secret things that belong to God and only God. These mysteries are His, and He will reveal them when He feels like. Sage Ben Sira refers to these as eternal and divine mysteries. And he goes on to say, "Do not seek out things that are too hard for you and the things that are hidden from you. Do not inquire about them. Immerse yourself in what is permitted you, and do not engage yourself in nistarot." Nistarot. We're going to take a look at that in just a second. "Such nistarot are esoteric as to be unintelligible. Pursuing them are futile, as it is an insult upon God's plans for when certain revelations should be made public." The word nistarot, if you notice the end of the word, it is tarot. You ever heard of tarot cards? That's where they get that word. They're called tarot cards because they are revealing information that you don't already have. And God says, have nothing to do with nistarot. Have nothing to do with contacting the dead. Have nothing to do with witchcraft. Have nothing to do with soothsayers or seers. Those things are a reality, but they are to remain hidden. And we are not to go off seeking that information. They're God's business. Let Him deal with it. Ben Sira says, How about you just focus on you and what God has given you? How about you know that? We have a lot of people who are seeking information or secret information. If you go into a church and there are people there who are teaching things and saying, we have knowledge that you don't have, be careful. Because God has given us all the knowledge He wants us to have here in the Scriptures. Now, what's incredible is that He will give us revelation into certain things in the Scriptures. And when we get that revelation, those mysteries are revealed to us because He has allowed it to happen. Amen? Am I making sense? All right. So, the second thing, the second kind of mysteries, are things that have been revealed or will be revealed. The first one, the secret things, are God's business. The second one are mankind's business. God says, seek me. The word says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. There are things that we are to grow in. Amen? Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 27. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. And to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, in the Old Testament, in all of the Old Testament, God had promised a Messiah. He promised that He was going to send someone who would be the atoner or redeemer of all mankind. And everybody that lived in the Old Testament never saw that revealed. It was a mystery to them until God revealed it in His Son, Jesus Christ. So what was a mystery in the Old Testament and God's business became man's business when He revealed it in the person of Jesus Christ. So not all God's mysteries, not all God's business is just God's, but there's timing involved when He will allow it to be revealed. We're not to go searching after it and seeking after it. Allow God to reveal it to us. Make sense? Many of the things revealed that fall under mankind's business are not available to us because of the limitations of the English language. However, there is a language that the old Hebrew texts were written in. It is Hebrew. It is the language that God used when He spoke to Moses and His prophets. And there's an incredible richness to the Hebrew language. When you name someone in Hebrew, it wasn't just because you liked the sound of it. A name meant something. And the name was made up of letters. And each letter means something. So that when you string the letters together, they mean something so much deeper and so much richer. That's what we're going to take a look at today. I am often asked, what is the best Bible to get? Yes, one you can read is really good. Now, there are a lot of translations out there that I deem absolute garbage. In fact, borderline heresy. But there are others out there that are good. And I'm not here to go over the translations with you and which I think are the best and which are not to be touched. But if you go into a Bible bookstore, there are dozens of translations. Dozens. And you can pick up one and compare it with the other, and they don't sound anything alike. But there's only one Hebrew text. There's no Hebrew New International Version. There's no Hebrew Living Translation. It's just Hebrew. No different translations. Why? Why are there so many translations in the English but only one in the Hebrew text? We have a hint as to why that are recorded in the Scriptures. You see, here at New Hope Christian Center, if you have a question about the Scriptures, go to the Scriptures. Don't just listen to some knothead on the radio. Let the Scriptures interpret the Scriptures. It's an incredible reference for itself. Amen? Amen? Matthew chapter 5, verses 17, 18 in the NIV. Every time that I use a translation, I use the NIV because it's the way I speak. NIV has its downfalls. It's not the greatest study Bible, but it's the way I talk. So I use the NIV in all my translations unless I'm using a different translation because the wording is different. Okay? So this is out of the NIV. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. So in the English language, it is not the smallest letter. Well, in the English alphabet, what would you consider the smallest letter? But a dot's not a letter. In the English language, what letter? A, B, C, D, E. If you look at them, they all kind of look the same, don't they? I mean, they're different, but there's really not one that would be considered the smallest letter, something that jumps into your head, nor the least stroke of a pen. So in the English, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. However, if we look in the New King James Version at the very same verse, it says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till it is fulfilled," all fulfilled. What in the world is a jot and a tittle? I don't have any more information than I did before. It went from the least or the smallest letter and the least stroke of a pen to a jot and a tittle. I have no more information than when I started. So, the Hebrew Bible, we're going to find out what a jot and a tittle are. The Hebrew Bible that we have today, and mainly the Torah, is believed to be identical to the Torah given to Moses on Mount Sinai. The reason for not having more than one Hebrew Bible version at any time is that the sofer or the scribe, the person who was licensed to copy the text, has never been authorized to change even the tip of a serif or the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, Colton, were you able to get those images? Do you have the... Yes. Okay. So I took five letters out of the middle of the alphabet, and this is het, tet, yud, kaf, and lamed. Notice the little one? That's a yud. It's a lot smaller than its brothers, isn't it? So when it says in English the smallest letter, it makes no sense to us. But if you're talking about Hebrew alphabet, yud is obviously the smallest letter. Correct? Okay, so I have what here. Scribes had to go to years of schooling in order to become a scribe. And when they started to copy the Hebrew text, if they made a mistake, they weren't able to blot it out. They had to start over from the beginning. They didn't have erasers. So they had to start over. That's why they were so meticulous in copying down the text. And this Yud, I have a different version of this that I drew up. If you notice on this, so the letters that you see in Hebrew, you're going to see different versions. One is the book script, and it looks a little bit fancier. And then there is the manual script, and it's just the lines. But if you look at a scroll, a Hebrew scroll, you're going to see a lot of little added things on the letters. Those are called serifs. And they don't change the meaning or the sound of a letter at all. They're just there for style. It doesn't take away from the letter, but it adds a little stylistic flair. So you see the U there, it's just a, like almost a comma. But if you see it in the book print, there's this little tiny serif. It's just there for style. This little tiny serif is called a jot. And if you add one to the bottom of a letter, it's called the tittle. So when Jesus said, do not take away from the smallest letter or the jot or the tittle, he's not talking about changing a letter. He's talking about changing the tiny little tip of the flare. Don't you dare change that. Why? Because if a sofer took the authority to change the little tip on the top of the serif, then what's to keep him from taking the authority to change the letter altogether? And then, why not take the authority to change a word? And then you've lost the continuity of the meaning of the scriptures. So he says, don't you dare change even the very tip of a serif on the smallest letter in the Hebrew language. Does that scripture make a little more sense now? Don't you dare. And so, the English word alphabet came into Middle English as a late Latin word for alphabetum, which in turn originated in the Greek as alphabetos. So the Greek word was made up from the first two letters of the alphabet, alpha and beta. Hebrew, the first letter, which was written thousands of years before Greek was Aleph. Aleph. The second is Beit. So the Hebrew word is Aleph Beit. Ours is alphabet. Wonder who stole from who. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the first five letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And I'm going to say alphabet because Aleph Beit just doesn't roll off my tongue very well. So Aleph is the very first letter. It is a letter of the Hebrew alphabet that has no sound, but is usually associated, has a vowel associated with it. Now, all Hebrew letters have a numeric value associated with them, and alpha, or Aleph, has a numeric value of 1. So, have you heard the verse in an old Iron Maiden song, the number of the beast? He knows it is a human number. And that's how they come up with the number of the Antichrist. The Antichrist, it adds up to 666. That's how they do that, because the Hebrew alphabet has numbers associated with it. Okay? It is considered the father of the Aleph Beit, whose original pictograph represents an ox, which symbolizes strength and leadership. So there were pictures that went along with the letters. You'll often see it's carved into stone and rocks. It was the sign of an ox. That meant strong leader. So the Aleph is the strong leader of the whole entire alphabet. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God. You want to know how things happened? You want to know how the Big Bang happened? You want to know what was before the Big Bang? Look at Genesis 1. In the beginning, God. That's all you need to know. Now, it's not what a lot of people want to know. They want to disprove God. They want to prove that we are here because of random choice and evolution. The Bible says, in the beginning, God. And the word there, the name there, is Elohim. Elohim. And it means judge, creator, and it is a plural noun. So it's not in the beginning God singular, it is in the beginning God plural. Kind of strange, correct? But we learn about that a little bit later. In the beginning, and the word or the name Elohim begins with Aleph. Aleph is a picture of the three in one, the Trinity. Just as there are three parts to Aleph, but it is one letter, so there are three persons to the Godhead. But God is absolutely one. Of many of the names of God begin with Aleph. El Elohim, Adonai, and when he said, I am that I am, Eyer Asher Eyer, begins with Aleph. So it is the kingpin of the language. All right? So let's move on to the next one. The next one is Aleph Beit. Beit, B, Beit. Wow. All right, we're going to go to Beit anyways. So Beit is the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, sometimes you will see a dot in the middle of Beit. That means it is a hard B. It's pronounced B. If you don't see the dot, it's called a dagish mark. If you don't see it, it is pronounced V. So where's Jacob? Jacob here? Oh, he's in kids' church. Jacob, spelled J-A-C-O-B. I call him Yaakov. He probably doesn't know why I call him Yaakov. And I really don't care. I'm actually kind of waiting for him to ask me, why do you call me Yaakov? My name's Jacob. Well, if there's not a dot in there, it's a V, so I call him Yaakov. And there's no J in the Hebrew language, so throw out everything that begins with J. Like Jehovah, nope. There's no J. So he's Yaakov. So make sure you call him Yaakov. Everybody. Because he's not here, he'll have no idea what's going on. So there's no dot, it's a V. So the numeric value of Beit is? Oh, you're getting better. It is 2. And the pictograph for Beit is a house, a tent, or a dwelling. That's kind of roughly looks like a house with the door open. Little roof over there, kind of, no? It is. It means house, tent, or dwelling. In John 1, chapter 14, in John 1, verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory. Glory is the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That word dwelt actually is the word for tabernacle. Tabernacle. It's the first dwelling place that they built for God before they built the temple. They built the tabernacle or the tent of meeting. Tabernacle means to dwell with or to dwell in. So God tabernacled with his people. The Feast of Tabernacles in the fall, it's also called Sukkot. The Jews build little tents or shacks, one-room shacks, and they actually stay in it. And it's to be a remembrance of all of their ancestors that lived in little thrown-together shacks while they were in the wilderness before they were led into the land of Canaan. So that means tabernacle, to dwell with. In Exodus chapter 40, verse 34 and 35, it says, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." God with us. He tabernacled with us here on earth in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ. So Aleph is the leader, Elohim, the creator, the judge. Beit is he tabernacled with us. You got God, and then you got his dwelling place, dwelling with his people. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Remember, God is Elohim, starts with Aleph. Created in the Hebrew is bara. Bara. And the aromatic word for son is bar. So you often see in the scriptures, bar so-and-so, bars. That means simply son of. Starts with the letter B. If you separate the letters within the word bara, you will have bar Aleph, which means the son of the father, who is Aleph. Aleph sent his son to tabernacle. Bar. Jesus is the son of the father. Just in two little letters, we have a story that says there is a supreme one who is the leader that tabernacled through his son on earth. That's just two letters. Now, if you study the letter in English A and the letter B, you get nothing. You get absolutely nothing. So, let's move on, shall we? In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made up of the letters. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. All right, so we're going to move on to the next one. Aleph, Beit. The next one is Gimel. Gimel. It is the third letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and it sounds like a G in girl. The numeric value of Gimel is? Yeah, you guys are catching on. This is great. 3. Okay, the architecture of the classic Hebrew letter looks something like a man walking to the left. See the little guy on the right there? It looks like a man, and he is walking to the left. The root gamal means to deal out or give. Gamal, to deal out or give or make payment. Can I see where we're going here a little bit? The word ga'al is redeemer, and it means to redeem by payment. In Isaiah 49:7, it says, "Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and its Holy One." So God is a redeemer. He makes payment for. And we see that payment happening in Gimel, the third letter. 2 Titus verses 2, 11 through 14. "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our God, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all the wickedness, and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So if you take the numeric values, 1, Aleph, Beit, 2, which is the sun, 3, Gimel, represents the Holy Spirit. And there in the first three letters, or first three letters of the Aleph Beit, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit represented. Now the Holy Spirit is walking to the left, correct? According to the thing here. So we go Aleph, the Father, Beit, Tabernacles, and then Gimel is walking back to the house or the tabernacle. It makes no sense. You have to remember that Hebrew is not left to right. It is right to left. So, Aleph, the Creator, tabernacles through His Son, and the Holy Spirit is walking where? To the next letter. To the next letter. We already have an incredible story here. But wait, there's more. And you ain't going to hear it today. But the things that are written and recorded in Hebrew are incredibly rich in God revealing His plan to us. We can't get that just studying English. You cannot get that studying Greek. But God reveals Himself in the language that He shared with His people. Those letters mean something. We've already seen just through three letters that God is the Creator, that He came down to earth, and that He sent His Holy Spirit to do what? We're going to find out. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. I want to say thank you to Colton, who put together those notes, and Hannah, for doing that. It's not easy to find Hebrew text. I did finally find it in Word. If you want to know where it is, just start searching. I'm not going to tell you because nobody told me. Neener, neener, neener. But God's Word, His written Word that He had recorded for us, for our benefit, is absolutely incredible. For people to say, it's just a bunch of, the Old Testament, the Bible, it's just a bunch of stories, just thrown together, it's no different than Greek mythology. Absolutely, 100% wrong. And when you start to unfold those things that God chooses to reveal to us, it comes to life. And you look at it and go, there's no way that 40 different authors over a time span of 2,500 years in distances away from one another, thousands of miles, came up with this incredible book, all pointing to what we just learned in the first three letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It's impossible. It is 100% impossible without one person orchestrating the entire thing. Impossible. Amen? We serve an incredible God that we can't even begin to fathom the mysteries that still have not been revealed. Focus on the things that He has revealed. Get to know them. Get familiar with them. If you want to grow in your faith, there is one verse that spells it out quite plainly. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Period. You can go into a church and have incredible concert-like music and this and that and this and that, but are they teaching you the Word of God? Because your faith is not going to grow listening to music unless it is teaching the Word of God through music. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I trust that as you leave today, you have a greater understanding or a greater revelation of who God is. See, that's our job as pastors. It is our job to point you to Jesus Christ. It is our job to inform you about His Father and the plan that was laid out before the beginning of time. And I know this isn't really popular in our culture, but I don't give a rip. I will preach the Word of God until they tell me I can't preach the Word of God, and then I'll do it a little more quietly. But until then, you come here at New Hope, you're going to get the Word of God. Because it gives us revelation of who He is, and it lets us know in Him who we are. Does that make sense? Continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For He has a plan for each and every one of us. And He says, my ways are not your ways. Well, how can I know His ways if I don't understand His Word? If I don't bother to read it? If I don't bother to study it? How can I possibly know? It's like a... Do we have any guys here that when your wife orders something that needs to be assembled, that refuse to read the instructions? I say, yep, yep. You see, God didn't put us here on the earth without giving us an instruction manual. He gave it to us. We're supposed to read it. And how many of your husbands that refuse to read those said instructions end up with something that doesn't look anything like it was supposed to, and it doesn't work, and then it has to end up taking it apart and putting it back together, or you just call someone who will read instructions. God has given us His Word to instruct us. Utilize it. Study it. Know it. Use it. Amen? Please stand.
What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what burdens you brought with you or those you left out at the door. But one thing I can tell you, God is still on the throne. Amen? Before the beginning of time, He knew we would be in this place today. And He knew that you would be going through whatever it is that you went through or you're going through. But He also knows that in everything you go through, He's right there with you. He said in His Word, when you go through the fire, I will be there with you. It will not consume you. Amen. When you go through the flood, it will not overcome you. Take courage this morning. Be strengthened this morning. Because we serve an awesome God. Yes, circumstances around us may look like everything's going to hell in a basket, whatever they say. But no, God knows exactly what He's doing. He's not confounded or confused or disturbed or put off track by what's going on in the culture today. No. Let's continue to stand firm and to hold on. In His own time, He will reveal, like we learned this morning, He will reveal exactly why sometimes we go through what we go through. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You for Your people that You brought into this place this morning, Lord. Father, we just come committing every person under the sound of my voice. Every family we put before you this morning, Lord. You know us better than we know ourselves, Father. We pray this morning for healing where there may be sickness in our bodies, in our minds, in our spirits, Lord. Make us whole again with the balm of Gilead, Lord. Touch us wherever we need your divine intervention this morning, Father. Lord, we pray, Lord, for those that may be seeking some answers from you, Lord, in a special area of their life. Oh, reveal more of yourself this morning. In the name of Jesus, let us know without the shadow of a doubt that we are yours and you are in it with us, Lord, and thereby get the strength we need to continue to press forward, Father. I pray for families. I pray for marriages this morning. Oh, I know marriages are under attack of the enemy, Lord, but you ordained marriage for a reason. You ordained families for a reason, Lord. And I pray you will strengthen our families in this church, Father, that we will continue to give you first place in our lives. Father, I pray for those that may be lacking in anything this day, Lord. Open the windows of heaven, Lord, and pour down your blessings upon us, Lord. For your name's sake, Father. And Lord, every battle that the enemy is going to put in our way this morning and this day and this week, Lord, we speak victory by the reason of the blood of Jesus and your sweet Holy Spirit. Dismiss us now with your blessing. May your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us until we meet again. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.